What's up, world? It's Spotty Wi-Fi, the king of the crypto punks, and you are now tuned in to Fired Up on the Blockchain with my guy, Travi.
And I'm like, Travi, come on now. Like, you got this under control.
Yo, it's your boy, Nessie the Rilla, from the east to the west. You already know who does it best. We Fired Up on the Blockchain with Travi. Let's go.
What's up? It's your Web3 bestie, Liz Morrison, and I'm Toy Encendida en la cadena de bloques con Travi.
Yo, what's up? It's G-Love, and I'm Fired Up with Travi.
What up, y'all? This is Sammy Ariaga. I'm Fired Up on the Blockchain with Travi.
I'm Ray Usla, and I'm Fired Up on the Blockchain.
Hi, I'm Leah from Power of Women, and I'm Fired Up with Travi.
This is OSF, and I'm Getting Wrecked with Travi.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends and degens, for the thousands in attendance and the millions listening in podcast land, my name is Travi, and we are Fired Up on the Blockchain.
Hey, Travi, let's effing go.
Woo! Welcome back to Fired Up on the Blockchain with Travi. This is Travi. It has been quite an adventure since meeting the old frog Pepe, which was a conversation from the last podcast. Actually, it was an interesting conversation. It was before I ever considered even thinking about the possibility of putting some Pepe in my wallet. But of course, you'll hear that conversation. It wasn't really just about the idea of Pepe. It was just really a good conversation with Drew and Jordash and Fanzo, all about meme coins in general and doing things for the culture and what that means. But of course, if you are currently active and following all the things going on in Web3, NFT land, and crypto, and all that kinds of stuff, you'll see that Pepe spawned a bit of a altcoin, if you will, a revolution. I don't know. With Pepe leading the way, there are a lot of coins that have come out that people are trying to be early to catch the wave of, and some people are doing okay with it, and other people, it's kind of like chasing that dragon that keeps getting away from you, and it's really sad to see. But I do hope everybody is able to come out on top here in this crazy sort of bear market where I think we're just looking for something interesting, like, to be honest with you. And speaking of interesting, our guest today is Juliet with Miss Oh Cool Girls. Juliet has been really a person that I've looked up to in the Web3 space for a very long time. Miss Oh Cool Girls is investing in a better future for girls, ensuring that they are included in Web3 and beyond, building a safer and healthier digital world. And as a girl dad, I can tell you, we really get into a little bit more about not only my appreciation for what Juliet is doing and what Miss Oh Cool Girls is doing, but how it really does affect people in real life and really does set young people, especially young girls, up on a solid pathway. So dads out there, especially girl dads, you might want to listen to this one. And if you just like technology and how the new younger generation is using it to really enter Web3, then this is a conversation that you're going to want to listen to for sure. But before we get to Juliet, I do want to say we've got some amazing affiliates. First of all, big shout out to Unstoppable Domains. We've been riding with Unstoppable as an affiliate for so long, and they have something for everybody. You can find your digital identity by clicking in the show notes and get your .crypto, .nft, .a whole lot of other stuff. They even have a .anime going on right now. So there's a lot of stuff out there. Find something that suits your needs. And remember, there's never any renewal charges when you're dealing with Unstoppable Domains. And also our friends at Zealous. Zealous is our official affiliate partner as well, and Zealous does everything for me. I swear, I've been using these guys since before I think it was even possible to purchase one of their plans, just because I begged Greg, please Greg, let me try out your technology. And now there's so many plans, you could turn your marketing from zero to hero. Zealous is your AI assistant, so they've got everything from audiograms to archiving your Twitter spaces, backing up your recordings, coming up with transcripts. I mean, it's literally like an AI assistant for you. So if you're a creator out there and you ask me what I use, I'm going to always tell you Zealous. So right there in the show notes, you can find out how you could get involved and have Zealous work for you today. I don't know about you. I'm ready to rock and roll with Juliet and Miss Old Cool Girls right after today's real quick NFT tutoring session.
Hey, it's time for school.
Yes, that's right. It's time for school. And today we're going to talk about education, like literally education. Because what Miss Old Cool Girls does for young girls is so cool. They allow you to learn how to mint on the blockchain, help you set up a wallet. They give you $100 worth of Ethereum to do so. They are the place for girls in Web3 and their allies. What Miss Old Cool Girls is a collection of 10,000 unique Miss Old Cool Girls generated from over 600 hand-drawn elements and stored on the Ethereum blockchain. They are the leading company in Web3 for focusing on educating, empowering, and building for young girls. It is a place that I would trust young people that I know to get a really great education and a really great start to getting involved in Web3. And I took a look at their super rare gallery, and they have young women and young girls artwork featured for sale on the blockchain. It's really amazing, really creative, and a really great story. I can't wait for you to hear Juliet tell it right now. So let's get into it.
As I've talked about in the past, I have a lot of time and a lot of respect for people who are doing good things in the space, who come from a really good place, who have really good hearts. And today is guest that I've wanted to share with you for quite a long time. Her name is Juliet. She's with the Miss Old Cool Girls. She's making learning. She's making art. She's making all that stuff cool again. If it wasn't cool, it is cool again. To people like me, it's always been cool. But Juliet, it is a pleasure to have you as a guest on Fired Up on the Blockchain with Travi. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. And do I get to do I'm Juliet and I'm fired up with Travi? I loved all those intros.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll get you to do a drop for sure. For sure. And thanks to our good friends at Zealous, this will go from a Twitter space to a podcast with a click of a button. And you know what? I think that's really an important thing for all of us, is to take things that we're doing in real time and repurpose them for good people who want to learn more. And I think that's what our podcast audience is all about. And, you know, Juliet, we've talked for probably a few months now, I think, of trying to get you on here as a guest, because, you know, you're somebody who's turned a lot of heads in the NFT space, but also in the IRL space. I think you've done a great job onboarding. You know, we use that term a lot. Onboarding means different things to different people. But you've really taken, you know, young people who want to share their art, and you've given them a platform to do it. And I know you had an event on Saturday, kind of right on the heels, right during the week of NFT NYC. I actually spoke on a panel with somebody who I believe, so he was actually one of the heads of Super Rare. And, you know, your name came up in conversation with him. So, yeah, you've got a lot of respect from a lot of people. First of all, what is it like to be respected, you know, on an individual level? Let's talk about Miss Cool Girls in just a second, you know, but you and your passion and your drive and your work ethic and all of those things. What's it feel like as somebody right now who's really been doing a lot already in IRL and is now kind of emerging in my opinion, as sort of like one of the Web3 superstars, if you will?
Well, thank you for saying all of that. Wow. It's always really nice to hear that what I'm doing is resonating with other people. And I think it really comes down to the fact that what I'm building and what my goals are and what my mission is very universal. It doesn't matter what your gender is, how old are you, what your interests are. Like, my goal is to build a healthier digital future for this next generation. And I think that so many people can, you know, really relate to that on a personal level. And so I think, you know, entering into the Web3 space, as so many of you guys know, it's hard. Like, there's a lot of like hustle that you have to do and really get involved and really immerse yourself in this world. And when I started really just kind of coming at this from, I just want to learn, like from a learning experience back in October of 2021, I really had no clue what to expect, but I just really put my head down and I started learning and getting involved in communities and reaching out to people and asking a billion questions. And I think by doing that, it's enabled me to have a little bit of knowledge and really be able to kind of fine tune what it is that I'm building and I'm creating. So I appreciate that so much, Trevi. And I have just loved all of the awesome Web3 companies that we've been able to partner with and connect with, and also just really seeing them support us and really show up for us in ways. And when I say us, I mean this next generation, because that's what we're all about.
Yeah, I want to hear about your background too. But, you know, you said you got in at the end of 2021, which was sort of kind of the end of what I guess the bull market was, especially October was where we still saw, you know, ETH prices were pretty high. NFT communities were pretty strong. It wasn't until about the winter of that time, right after Thanksgiving, and then obviously into the first half of 2022, where we really started to see things slide a little bit. From the collector's side, what do you think? Like you said, first of all, asking questions, I feel like, is key. Like, I feel like you should never be afraid to ask questions. My career as an educator for, you know, almost two decades and stuff. I love when my students ask questions, but the best way for me to learn was to ask other people questions. And like, I might even start with, hey, sorry if this is a stupid question, but, and most of the time the response is actually, that's a pretty good question. I'm glad you asked it. So what were some of the communities that you kind of credit for being comfortable enough to really dive in, learn a little bit, ask questions from on the sort of NFT collector side?
Yeah, I think that's so, I mean, everything you said is so true. And I feel like there are no dumb questions, especially when it comes to learning about a new space that you're just not familiar with. But that's really what I did. I was just like, okay, this might be a dumb question, but what does this mean? I have no clue what that, like, I would even be on Twitter spaces and they'd be like throwing out all this like verbiage, and I'd be like furiously taking notes, being like, okay, look that up, try and ask somebody. For me, the earliest community, so actually I had a really awesome mentor who's still a mentor of mine, who has been in the crypto space for a really long time. He was the first person I reached out to just to be like, hey, can you give me some information? And it was funny because I went to him initially being like, oh, can you send me articles and can you send me podcasts to listen to and all this stuff? And he was basically like, I can, but that's not really going to be super helpful. Like the best thing that I can suggest is get back on Twitter, like reactivate that account that you probably have. I had personally not been on since like 2013. So get back on Twitter, open up a wallet and buy some ETH and I will send you your first NFT. So like for me, one of the things that he did was very much set the stage for me to learn and really help to lower that barrier to entry for me. And like, we can talk about it more later when we speak more on the educational stuff, but that was really kind of like that big moment where I was like, okay, wow, you really need to do this stuff to even be able to understand it. And so that first NFT that he sent me was actually a long necky lady. So I kind of jumped into that community. I jumped into Flower Girls. I just joined like a billion Discords. I just joined like all the Discords. I followed as many people on Twitter and really just started like paying attention to what they were doing, how they were messaging things. Obviously, like looking at some of the, blue chip female led project. So there was like World of Women that I, you know, was really following along with from a community perspective. And yeah, that's kind of how I did it. And I just started making connections and really being able to, it was funny because I feel like I hadn't made friends online before. And I started making all these friendships online and then they turned into real friendships and really meaningful. So it was, again, just a diving in sort of head first, like learning experience for me. And that's really how I did it.
I love that. Yeah. Meeting friends online is definitely not something that I've really ever done either. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there who swipe left and swipe right and those kind of things and met special friends online. But with regard to the Web3 space, it was definitely kind of a newer thing for me. And I'm glad. And I sometimes joke, I'm like, man, I never spent so much money to make friends before. But I have to say, like, there's so many great leaders in the space, so many project founders, so many thought leaders and stuff that I would not trade back. Yes, I certainly wish I liquidated a couple of PFPs, you know, a year or so ago. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. I think that the relationships you make are absolutely incredible in this space. And that, you know, and I see some people in the audience right now who are founders of projects and on really strong teams. So shout out everybody who's tuning in right now. Yeah, with Juliet. So, you have a background already. It's cool that you had a mentor. I know a lot of us onboarded ourselves. I know for me, like I played with like, what is MetaMask? Like, what even is this thing? And I think, you know, a lot of us, hopefully not happening as much anymore, but a lot of us learned the hard way not to click on certain links and things like that. I think my first like weird, well, I think the only weird link I clicked on was like for an alien friend. I didn't even really want. I was just like, yeah, everyone's buying alien friends. I'll buy an alien friend. And it wasn't a real alien friend. I was like, ah, and I had to get a new wallet and all that stuff. But speaking of education, you know, we're always learning and we're educating one another in this space. And, you know, for me, and this is kind of this will tie back to kind of your IRL. For me, like my whole onboarding into the Web3 space actually started when and my wife and I were selling real estate, and I got this certification where it was called Crypto Certified Realtor, and I was able to teach people about how to purchase homes using crypto. But that wasn't as interesting as selling their home as an NFT, which meant it could be stamped on the blockchain. And I was like, wait a second, maybe there is something more to this whole thing than the monkey picture. So I hopped on in and I found utility projects. And thankfully now, you know, I hold things like shout out to Drew, who's here with Meta Athletes, providing, you know, real life utility to holders. And, you know, you're providing not only real life utility to holders and having events, but you're providing an on-ramp for young artists. So let's talk about how you got to that point. Like, who is Juliet, who made her way over the Mistle Cool Girls to do this really cool thing for all these great young people, young artists?
Yeah. So I actually, this all kind of stems from, or doesn't kind of, this all fully stems from a company that I actually started when I was in high school. So I started a company called Misso and Friends. It started off really as a hobby to help my younger sister and her friends through middle school. Started off with these doodles that I called Cool Girls. And my mom, who is a graphic designer, she took that art and she created a character of my sister and I. And for years, it was just fun. It was just a hobby. Like, mom, make us, you know, go play soccer or go to the beach or go skiing or whatever, things that we like to do. And it was this one year for my sister's 8th birthday party. So I was 13. I was thick in the middle of middle school. My friends and I were dealing with all of that super fun middle school stuff. And it was really the first time that I started seeing this stuff happen with Olivia and her friends. So clicking off, leaving each other out, talking about their boyfriends. Sorry, my dog is howling at a package delivery. Sorry. talking about how, you know, they didn't want to eat birthday cake because they didn't want to get fat. And for me, it was honestly shocking seeing this happening with Olivia and her friends. And that was really the impetus. How can I do something to help my sister and her friends through middle school? So was a hobby for a really long time. The whole goal was to provide this safe space online where girls could just be girls. And our demo was always the tween girl. So the 8 to 14, you know, really it's such a hard time. It's only harder now. But all kind of user generated content, completely by girls for girls. And then when I went to college, Procter & Gamble ended up investing in us. And so after I graduated, I was able to really focus on the company full time. And we were able to grow Misso.com into one of the top girls websites globally. Again, all user generated content, totally safe. So like COPPA, GDPR compliant, in line with all of the Children's Online Privacy Acts. We then from there launched a safe socialization app called the Girl to Girl Wall, which was, again, COPPA. The whole goal was for girls to realize that they were not alone in whatever it was they were dealing with. So there's over 40 different groups, girls being able to talk about anything and everything. And then from there, we then did a TV series with YouTube Originals and with Disney. It was one of the first family-friendly series that was funded by the Originals team at YouTube, which was inspired by my founding story. So falls five girls in middle school, school as they create and build MissO.com to help other girls while dealing with middle school issues of their own. And this show really focused on entrepreneurship, positive female friendships, girls working together, and then also had this really big STEAM component to it as well. And so for me, one of the things that I'm actually the most proud of in my Web 2 world is that there was actually this external study done that showed that girls who watched just the first episode of Hyperlinked, that was the name of the show, which was only 22 minutes long, that is it, were 11% more likely to pursue a career in computer science than girls who didn't. And so I say that, I think for me, it was such a eye-opening experience in the sense that we see so much of the negative effects that content can have. But if we can really work to create empowering spaces and content that is actually reflective of these girls and what their lives are like and have this like aspirational yet relatable content, then we can really work to change that toxic content narrative for girls. And so that is really what everything I have always done has been about. How can we squash stereotypes, whether they're gender stereotypes or age stereotypes, or showcase girls in non-traditional roles, or provide real opportunities for them to be empowered and to build self-esteem and to build confidence and to follow their passions besides just saying you want to do that. And so for me, that's been part of like what I've been building for basically like over half my life now at this point, which is so insane that it's been that long. But it is just, I am really, my goal has always been to make this world better for girls, because when you do that, you are making the world better as a whole. It's not just girl specific. So obviously, you know, with Web3, we have now extended that in so many different ways. And I just, when I started learning about it back, like I said, in October of 21 and really started diving in, I was like, whoa, like there's so much here that we have already kind of been tapping into in so many ways. How can we just really like make the, like, how can we actually empower girls at an even larger scale?
Well, first of all, I want to say this, not just from an educator standpoint, but from a girl dad standpoint, thank you very much. And I definitely agree that if you make the world a better place for girls, it's a better place for everybody. And not just because the happy wife, happy life, old fashioned statement. I mean, you know, all of us are connected by the fact that, look, we came to this earth thanks to a woman, right? Thanks to girls. Thanks to really solid, strong people. You know, regardless of how our lives eventually unfolded, we had somebody, you know, who helped guide us through the way. And for me, you know, having seen what, you know, my mom went through as a single mom, and then, you know, having two little daughters and stuff, I look at the world from a very different place than a lot of my male friends do, especially those that don't have daughters. So I want to just say, and two, from the educator standpoint, having worked as a middle school teacher, especially a middle school teacher of students with special needs for as long as I did, I really think that there's a lot to be said for really trying to keep, for lack of a better term, I guess, spirits up, right? Like you talked about not wanting to eat birthday cake because not wanting to gain weight. But we're trying to talk about how these people could enjoy their lives, how they can have a better life, a more enjoyable experience. So you're bringing now kind of that mentality to Web3, and you're doing it in a way where, you know, for me, I think that students and young people specifically, especially in that kind of tween age range there, they need something where they're able to express themselves, they're able to grow, and they're able to be proud of themselves. Because a lot of times in education, a lot of the, you know, the adults will say, you have to really do well in your math, you have to do really well in your reading and your writing. But not all the time is there a lot of emphasis put on the creative arts. So that's something that I specifically love that you're doing. And I'll even put this caveat as well too. Like, well, I remember when my first daughter was like 6 months old, it was Christmas time, whatever. And I got her this onesie that said the future is female. I got her a Wonder Woman toy that she couldn't even hold yet. I got a Supergirl or Superwoman doll or whatever. And it's just to sort of just say, no matter what, like, you're always going to have people, right, trying to compete for attention in the world. You're always going to have people trying to compete for business in the world. You could also do it. Like, you could be on the same playing field, if not beat other people, by just, like you said, you're doing, keeping your head down and putting in the effort. So anyway, thank you for doing that. And then, so you did eventually bring it to Miss O Cool Girls. You got funded by Procter & Gamble, which is in itself, like, you just glossed over it. Can we zero in on that for a second? Like, what was that like? How did that happen? I mean, I don't know anybody else who can say something like that, especially so kind of early on in their careers.
Yeah, with the Procter & Gamble relationship, what was really interesting is that we had, you know, launched MissO.com. As I had said, our whole thing was always being by girls for girls, never being like, oh, we know better, because we don't. Like, what does our community say? Which, when I had said initially, like, from the ethos of Web3, there was already so much that we had been doing it at MissO and Friends that was really aligned with, like, the whole community-driven aspect of Web3, which was one of the reasons why I got so excited about it. And at the time, Procter & Gamble had a website called beinggirl.com, which I don't believe exists in, like, its current state anymore. But Being Girl was basically a place where girls could go and learn about all of, like, the puberty stuff that was happening. They were obviously – there was stuff about all of their different, like, products, whether it was pads or tampons or deodorant or razors or things like that. And MissO.com was outperforming Being Girl. And so we were able to reach this very niche demographic in an authentic way. And, you know, that's why they were interested in us. And so we did a lot of partnerships with them too initially. But it was always because we kind of got out of our own way. And I was still young at the time. Like, when I first presented to Procter & Gamble, I was 16. And so we got out of, like, our – so I was, you know, close to that demo, but I wasn't in middle school anymore. My sister was now, and her friends were, and our community obviously was. But it was always by asking our community what it is that they want and being truly community-led. And that's something, you know, that I think is also really interesting when we think about this kind of this next seeing where how Web3 continues to evolve, especially from a brand perspective, how a lot of the stuff, at least the things that really excite me, are putting that, continuing to be able to put that community first and reward that community, and in turn really be able to create strong loyalty and brand loyalty with whether it's your project or company or with, like, brands that you're partnering with.
Amazing. Starts off with a doodle and an idea, and it turns into something amazing. It's incredible stuff. And, you know, let's talk about what Miss O Cool Girls is doing, how you brought that to the blockchain, how you're able to onboard young people into the space. I know you've got a super rare gallery. I've met some of your artists in person there at NFT NYC. I love that some of the art that, you know, from the artists that you've displayed in your gallery were actually displayed in the community artist showcase at NFT NYC. Really cool stuff. Let's talk about Miss O Cool Girls and some of the the foundational Web3 components to what Miss O Cool Girls is and what it's kind of growing into.
Yeah. So Miss O Cool Girls essentially started as sort of like that Web3 extension of Miss O and Friends. So the art, and it was this, it was more from, like, the art perspective. So the art that you see, all the Miss O Cool Girls art, that is based off of the original Miss O and Friends IP, which you would have seen on our website, on our app, in our series, on all of that stuff. We had done some licensing, early licensing as well. But in that case, we had 6 characters. And I think what was so cool when I started learning about, you know, building out, like, generative art and all these different traits is Miss O Cool Girls, there's over 600 traits, and they're all diverse and inclusive and representative. And the goal from our art is really to be able to celebrate that there is no one definition of what it means to be a girl, and girl also referring to gender expansive youth. So when you look at our collection already, if you go onto OpenSea and see what has been minted already, we're still minting, but you'll see that, like, every Miss O Cool Girl looks so different. And we're also bringing in traits that are not typically shown. So we have acne, and we have braces, and we have gap teeth, and we have pimple patches, and upper lip peach fuzz, and unibrows, and a shaved off eyebrow, because when I was in 7th grade, I shaved off my eyebrow. And so like a lot of things like that, bad haircuts, all of those things. And so we're really trying to celebrate all of those, like, you know, beautiful things that at some point in time a girl is going to go through, and she might feel insecure and uncomfortable and embarrassed about it, but it is very, very normal. So from an art perspective, that's really what we're doing there. And my mom is still the artist behind it. So my mom, Hermine, is the artist behind all of Miss O Cool Girls. So she, you know, took that original art that we had, my doodles, then turned into her more like graphic illustrations, and then into the Miss O and Friends characters, now into Miss O Cool Girls. So I work with my mom. And that was really kind of the whole idea from the art perspective. But then what we also really recognized early on was that there was such a lack of education when it came to understanding Web3, especially for girls. We know the stats and how crazy they are when it comes to, you know, STEM, computer science, financial literacy, girls versus boys, males versus females. And so especially with, you know, crypto being very male dominated and not wanting to set, you know, this next generation up for failure, we really started with an educational initiative as well, which has, you know, grown and evolved.
We talk a lot about trusting. You know, my whole talk at NFT NYC was about what it means to be a trusted individual in the space. And sometimes it means, you know, speaking to things that you believe in, you know, hopefully things in Web3 work out after you believe in it, you know, but it's also about staying true to your beliefs as well. But beyond being a trusted person, beyond being a person that people, you know, I don't know, I guess trust to ask questions and, you know, aren't going to say like, oh, this guy's trying to shill me something. I think that it's also difficult to find the right people to trust, because the word education in Web3, you hear it from a lot of different people, right? You hear the quote unquote influencers trying to educate people into, hey, this is you're really early into this coin, and then like what, a day or two later, completely rugs, right? And then the same thing happens for NFTs, where it's like, hey, come on in. Hey, you know, a celebrity will come on in, and you're kind of thinking, well, this is a trusted celebrity. They've got a name, brand, or recognition, and they come in and, you know, for whatever reason, maybe their team didn't carry through, or the celebrity decided that obviously there's other things in life than Web3. But finding a place to be educated is incredibly valuable, because from there you can start to sift through, you know, who you can find as a trusted individual, or what projects to invest in, or what people you feel comfortable asking questions, you know, to. And I feel like you've created a hub for that. I believe it's called the Build Educational Hub. It's BUIDL, like kind of HODL or HODL. And I like how you did that, by the way. Tell us about that, because I think having, you know, a place that people can go, where they can, you know, not feel bad asking questions, not feel dumb asking questions, but also finding out ways that they could expand their Web3 and NFT experience in a really positive way. So yeah, tell us about the Education Hub.
Yeah, so the Education Hub really evolved from the initial kind of educational commitment that we had when we first launched Miss O Cool Girls, because as you sort of just touched on, we have for us, with the, you know, the brand equity that we have built with Miss O and Friends, is that we are trusted and we are safe. Like, that is literally, like, those have been the two main pillars that have been just like what we have focused on and have always really stayed true to, and everything that I have built, regardless of what Web 2 or Web 3, but really when it came to, you know, all that we had built with Miss O and Friends. And so being the safe and trusted resource that parents knew that if they were coming to Miss O, that their girl would be okay. And so obviously the world of crypto and NFTs and Web3 and blockchain and all those buzzwords, like, is very scary for a lot of people, especially because there's not a ton of, or it's hard to find, as you were talking about, it's hard to find those safe and trusted resources. So when we launched Miss O Cool Girls, our goal wasn't to be like, go to our community there and be like, okay, now you guys have to buy crypto and you guys have to buy Miss O Cool Girls and you have to do all of that. Instead, we've reserved a bunch for our community, but we also, or our Web2 community, but what we also recognized was we have to educate them. We can't like just start doing all this stuff and not providing any education. So We launched with Girls Who Mint, which was an initial $25,000 commitment to give 250 girls, women, and non-binary $100 worth of ETH and then teach them what to do with it. So we did that through one-on-one onboarding sessions. We did that through webinars. We did that through in-person events. We gave out all of that money. And what we found was that there was, okay, what now? Like, where do I go now if I want to learn more? Oh, I'm an artist, or, oh, I'm into coding, or, oh, how do I get involved, right? So we had already taken out that first barrier, right? We helped with the wallet setup. We gave them their first crypto. We, you know, they could mint a Miss Oh Cool Girl if they wanted. Very much like my experience, as I mentioned at the beginning, with my mentor. And then there was like, okay, what next? What next? And so we didn't really know where to send them besides like we had, you know, like a bunch of resources and links, and we had, you know, links on misso.com, or like, this is like, this isn't great. And so that's where we came up with the idea for the educational hub. Our team, me and a couple women in my team, really worked to kind of strategize around like what it would look like, what we would offer, what the goals were. And then we pitched it to the Uniswap Foundation to receive a grant from from the foundation. And so we were awarded the grant, which really enabled us to build out our Biddle Hub. And, you know, it was basically like a play on, you know, like HODL Biddle, which is to actively build and contribute to the Web3 ecosystem to positively shape its future. And so that's really like what the goal is of the hub. You know, it's all free. We did not want to token gate it intentionally, because when you token gate something, especially for a group that is not already served this type of education, you're expecting them to already have a wallet and to have everything set up and trust the ecosystem, and they don't. And so it's this free educational resource that is really just lowering the barrier to entry. So there are 9 different pillars. You know, we take them through everything from crypto 101 to what is Web3 to blockchain to DAOs to DeFi, all the things. And each section has a video, an animated video utilizing the Miss Oh Cool Girls IP. And then we have a voiceover from a female leader in the Web3 space talking about that specific topic. And what we did when we were thinking about this from like an educational perspective is we did not want to dumb it down. We just wanted to make it relatable. And I think for probably so many people on here who are listening, the one thing that like made you want to be interested in Web3, but whatever you were doing under the Web3 ecosystem, it was because it felt relatable to you, or like, oh, I want to be part of that community, or, oh, that makes sense. And so that's really the goal with the Education Hub, to get it into the hands of as many young people as possible. While the Education Hub is more specifically like geared towards girls, it is for anybody, again, regardless of age or gender. And the feedback that we've had from, you know, people of all ages has been like, wow, like this is so helpful, or this is what I need to send to everybody I know who rolls their eyes and glazes over when I talk about Web3, because the videos are short and sweet. And they are, the goal is to just like teach, empower, and provide the opportunities for these girls to learn.
Wow, that's a really powerful hub for education. I wonder how many parents are learning a lot through it. Do you find that most of the artists and young people who you're finding find education through your hub? Do you find that they're doing it on their own? Do you find that their parents are sort of guiding them, or do you find that maybe even they're guiding their parents a little bit?
Yeah, it's funny because it's what we learned from all of our onboarding through Girls Who Mint was that almost 99 times, especially when we're dealing with the younger girls, they had a parent with them. And in many cases, it was like a lot of the times it was their mom. There were many cases it was like their dad or an aunt or an uncle or something like that as well. But they were learning together. And I think that was one of the things that we've really seen also with the Biddle Hub, is that so many parents are like, this has been great for me to go through with my kids, because it opens up larger conversations too about digital identity, about security, about financial literacy, kind of like these bigger topics that then you can then have these really meaningful educational conversations. And in so many cases, the parent goes into this knowing nothing. And they're like, the kid is always the one who gets it the quickest. Because this generation, like, is they are just so digitally native. So it makes sense to them. And a lot of parents that I speak to, they're like, I don't want to be left behind. I need to know what my kid is doing. I need to know what this technology is. Like, I need to learn and I need to understand so I can also be like a I can be an involved parent and at least know what they're doing. So we see a lot of that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because it doesn't just, you know, educate people about, you know, digital identity, which it does, and financial literacy, of course, but it also educates them about the power of, you know, being a creator in this space and what art can really do in the Web3 space. I actually know some artists who are still trying to get into Super Rare, and you've got a gallery, a Super Rare gallery specifically for your Moxies. First of all, tell everybody what a Moxie is. And secondly, you know, let's talk about the Super Rare gallery, because that in itself is, you know, it's not something to sneeze at. I feel like there's a whole lot of artists in this space who, you know, maybe if they were younger and they went into your, you know, your Biddle Hub, maybe would have found a little bit of a quicker path to getting onto Super Rare and things like that. Let's talk about that, because, you know, I know you had a showcase even at the end of NFT NYC with Super Rare for the artists. I mean, really cool stuff. So how did that all come together and what's that look like now?
Yeah. So our goal, like I kind of said, was our goal is how can we really like provide these real opportunities? So by being part of the Miss Ocool Girls community, you are a Moxie. That is what our community members call themselves. And if you're not familiar with the definition of what it means, of what Moxie means, it basically means that you are embodying this courage, this determination, and this perseverance, and the ability to really fearlessly pave the way for those that follow. So anyone who is part of our community is a Moxie. And again, when we think about some of the benefits that we can provide to people by being part of our community, one of them is giving artists the opportunity to have their work on Super Rare. So we applied for the Super Rare Space Race. And the whole goal was, again, to work to make crypto art, digital art, more equitable and have more women represented. And where does that start? It has to start, in many cases, younger. And so our Moxie gallery basically features work from artists. In our gallery, we've had two drops so far. We're going to have another one in a couple of weeks. The youngest artist is 8. And the oldest artist is 20. Most of the artists actually are more around 12, 13, 14. And again, the goal is to provide these real opportunities for these emerging artists, this incredible talent, to be able to get their work sold on Super Rare. And so we had a... an event at the end of NFT NYC where we were showcasing all of their work, and it was so cool. And a few of them were actually in New York for that, so we were able to see them in person, have this really cool gallery for them at the Canvas 3.0 gallery down at the Oculus in the World Trade Center. We did a pitch-a-thon where actually two of the artists also pitched to kind of share what they are continuing to build and what they're, you know, what they want to see from Web3 and what they want to do with it, especially from an art perspective. And what was awesome about that, and actually I just learned something really cool today, which I'm super excited to share, but that pitch-a-thon, there was $1,000 worth of prize money from the Uniswap Foundation. And one of our holders, and this is sort of what I was saying in the beginning, where it's like it's our community that is just like stepping up in so many incredible ways. One of our holders, this woman, Cass Vegas, she was one of the judges for the pitch-a-thon. And she called me and was like, by the way, like I just talked to Avalanche and they want to match the pitch-a-thon money. And I was like, what? Like, this is incredible. So it was $2,000 for these girls. And what was even cooler is that Avalanche at the time had just started announcing their artist in residency program. And so we were also sharing with all the artists that were there at the event and then in our community, like, check out this artist in residency program, apply for the artist in residency. And today I just heard from one of our artists that she got accepted into the artist in residency program. So, you know, she's so talented. It's Teresa Melvin. Her work was in our second drop on Super Rare. She's been a speaker at many conferences. I think she's still 14. I don't know if she's turned 15 yet. And it was just really cool to see that, you know, like these opportunities that we are providing artists. And again, giving girls the opportunity to really be able to make an impact in this space, because the whole way that I see it is this technology is so new. The space is still so new. It needs to be built with more equitable and representative voices if we want to see a change in our future. And so being able to give her this platform to really grow as an artist is, you know, I'm happy to play even a small role in it, because obviously she's so talented, but just to be able to help to open up those doors. And so if you're a holder, if you can sponsor a girl to be, you know, be submitted into our Super Rare gallery. We're going to be doing some other stuff too. Lots of like new partnerships that we're exploring right now, but the whole goal is to give girls more opportunities in all the facets of Web3.
Wow, that's an incredible opportunity for her and incredible accomplishment for you and your company and everything you're building. You know, earlier in the conversation, you mentioned that your mom was a little bit more of an artist. Did you grow up as kind of an art collector, an art appreciator? And I ask that because, you know, we're all connected right now through this Web3 space, and we know what digital art is. And many of us came into this space in Web3 not really thinking about art in itself as a utility, right? But I think over time, my IRL art appreciation matched up with, holy cow, there's real artists and fine artists creating digital artwork. So, I mean, I love, you know, certain artists I've collected in real life for years, but it did take a little bit of time for me to start appreciating more of digital art and kind of having it in my wallet. Did you grow up as an art collector, art appreciator, or was that kind of more just within the family?
I wish I was like a serious art collector. That's a dream, but it's always just been in the family in the sense that we've always loved and appreciated art. So my mom went to art school. She's a fine artist, actually. So like I have this picture that she painted when she was pregnant with me called Juliet's Window. And it was like, she was a watercolor artist and a textile artist. So I come from, and then my sister is a fashion designer. My dad still plays as a hobby in a band with his friends from high school, and he's in his 70s. So I come from a very artistic family. I'm actually probably the least, I'm more like crafty and creative, but from like a fine art skill, like that's not something that I possess like they do. But even my grandfather, he was the dean of engineering, but he was also a sculptor. And so it's just clearly been like in my DNA, and it's something that I've always loved and appreciated. I was an art history major in college for 2 years until I kept, you know, did not do well in Asian art and had to move on from that major. But it was, it's always been something that I have loved. And I think coming into this space, it's really cool to be able to see these young artists emerging in so many new mediums and really being able to leverage art as a way to express themselves, but also to monetize and to be able to open doors and provide new opportunities for them. And with our Super Rare Gallery, we have girls literally from all over the world that are in our first two drops. And so it's awesome to be able to see what these girls from all over the world, different ages, different backgrounds, totally different art. I would, you know, encourage anyone to go check out our gallery on Super Rare. It's just the Moxie's gallery. It's, you know, pinned on all of the Miss O'Cool girls' links and all of that stuff. But it's really impressive what these young artists are creating. And I think it's just really important that the world can, you know, start to see their art and they can really create a space and a voice for themselves to empower even artists, you know, younger than them.
For sure. And I'm just pinning that up to the top. If anyone has a chance, make sure you click on it and give Juliet a follow for sure. You know, we've seen the digital art space even within the last year to 2 years even change a little bit. That's why I think it's really cool that you're still onboarding young people, and obviously they're finding success, and especially the ones who are being displayed and, you know, and going through their education. And then obviously in the Super Rare Gallery, I mean, we see, you know, AI art You know, our friend Sharp Duck is here. He works with the apes, the AI apes, the apes who are, you know, they're always trying to be on the cutting edge of, you know, artificial intelligence. Even my PFP and the Fired Up on the Blockchain with Travi logo was done by Fanzo and his AI art. So I think there's a lot of incredible, you know, artists out there who are using different tools, whether you're talking about a stylus and an iPad, or you're talking about, you know, even kind of like the Mid Journeys and things like that. And now, of course, with the emergence of other AI software, who knows what the future is going to look like for these kids. But you did mention that you've had real life galleries, real life experiences for people. You talked about a few of them. And I just missed you because I had to go back on daddy duty on that Saturday when you had the event in NYC. But I know that you are really big on, you know, making sure that you do provide real life experiences for people. In those, are you talking about before we talk about what those real life experiences are, because I do want to chop it up a little bit about that. Are you talking about AI? Are you talking about, you know, just kind of more of the graphic design? I even see Heather here from Coin Queens. I know she did a Bitcoin ordinals collection using, you know, inspiration from PFPs, women-led PFPs. So I know there's a whole lot of places that people right now are pulling inspiration from. So I think it's an incredible time where there's so many new advancements in art.
So it was intentional on our end, especially with the first couple drops that we did with Super Rare, to have some artists that had already been digital artists in the, like digital NFT artists, right? Like crypto artists. And then some that had never before. So there was kind of, we wanted to have some of those, like, you know, more traditional artists who this was new and we wanted to bring them into this space. And then those ones that had already maybe been doing a little bit, but wanted to kind of be able to take their work to the next level, obviously being able to sell it onto Super Rare. So it has been though throughout the whole process, like there has been a lot that we've been educating them on, providing them information with, and actually part of the Girls Who Mint Fund, like we didn't want any of these artists to also pay for any of the costs associated with this. So we pay for the minting fees, we pay for all of those things. So like I said, the goal really is to make this as seamless as possible for these young artists, because there are so many barriers and it is challenging to be able to really break through in any type of art space, you know, crypto art not being an exception at all. And so it's been awesome being able to be like, for some of these like young artists, you know, we had one artist, Leah, who launched her first collection or her first two pieces with us on Super Rare. Then she went ahead and like launched her own collection. Then she did something with OpenSea. Like, you know, it's just, and she's eight. And it's, again, it's just so cool to see what these girls are doing. And we're just really like this guide for them to be able to offer like support or advice or, you know, again, being able to provide resources. But it's really like across the spectrum. And I think it'll be interesting, you know, as we continue to add more content within our education hub. Our NFT section is, not surprisingly, the biggest. There's three videos. Heather actually does one of the voiceovers for the video. So shout out to my coin queen, Heather. And again, we're kind of setting them up with like the basics of everything. And then we actually have some like more like how-to tutorial type things, because so many of the questions we get from girls is, okay, well, how do I do this next? Like how I want to be able to create my own collection. So being able to continue to add more content that is specifically speaking to that, doing more like monthly webinars, that type of thing. So we're just going to go with, you know, what our community is asking of us, like what it is that they want to see from us, what it is that they want us to be able to provide opportunities for, because, you know, we're community driven. So whether it's the girls themselves or their parents or adults or whomever, you know, we're always looking for new opportunities to be able to bring more girls into the space, you know, whether it's through art or other ways.
Yeah, incredible. And I know you and I both have to go back on parent duty soon. So I know we do only have a few minutes left. What IRL events do you know you have on the agenda coming up? What's next down the road for Miss O'Cool Girls? I know a little bit about the Moxie's X platform, but I'd love to hear a little bit more about that too.
Yeah, so we are hoping to do at least one more event this year. And, you know, working on potentially like partnering with some other like nonprofits and organizations to be able to get the Biddle Hub in their, in like the hands of their community to learn, because like I said, this is a free resource. So anybody who's listening, I would love for you to check it out. All you have to do is create an account. It's totally free, and be able to share it with your communities, whether they're Web3 or not, or schools or whatever it might be. So hopefully we'll have a new event to announce maybe in the next month or so, which will probably be in the fall, like in October. You know, we're contributing. We can't make it to Anna's awesome event in July, but we are contributing some ETH from our Girls Who Mint Fund to be able to give some of those kids ETH to start to play around with by being part of the her conference, which looks like it's going to be amazing. And then for Moxie's X, so that's essentially, again, what we have heard from our community, from all the girls and the parents that we are communicating with. It's like, okay, cool, but like, now what's next? Now, how do I do this? How do I personally get the benefits from a Web3 community? And Twitter's not safe for kids. Discord is definitely not safe for kids. Geneva's not safe for kids. All of these social platforms where so many Web3 communities connect are not kids safe. They're not places that we can send kids at all. And girls specifically are really craving a community that they can really be part of building and be able to receive in turn all of the benefits of what owning a digital asset can give them as a type of membership pass. And so we'll be building out Moxie's X, which is the next generation, social media platform that is really powered by girls, but enabled by blockchain technology. So the whole goal is to also work to build a healthier identity, both digitally and in real life, because I know I bet everyone on here has seen at some point some of these horrific and terrifying and, really disheartening headlines and studies when it comes to our current media and social media platforms and the detrimental effects that they have on girls. And when we look at it, Gen Alpha, which is kids that are born in 2010 or later, are going to be the largest adopters of this new technology. So we need to build for them. We cannot repeat these same mistakes when it comes to our current ecosystems, how these platforms were not built with their best interests, yet they end up being the largest consumers of them. So that's what we are building with Moxie's X. And I'm really excited about it. And there'll be a lot of really cool stuff with the IP and the art and really putting, the community, front and center and empowering them. So that's kind of what's next for us. Hopefully some more other educational type events. Just last week, we were asked by Uniswap to join them at the New York City Computer Science Fair to talk to, literally, they said it was going to be like 2,000 kids, and it was literally 2,000 kids to talk to them about emerging technologies with Web3, so leveraging our Biddle Hub for that. So again, the more hands that we can get this information into, that's how we can really work to build a more equitable and healthier future, and that's my goal.
I love how you're supporting so many people, but we've got a lot of people here who are listening right now. Who want to support you and want to continue, tracking you and your journey and all that. What are some of the best ways that you think people could, support you, support Miss O Cool Girls and this amazing mission that you have?
If you have the funds, I would love for you to mint a Miss O Cool Girl. They're 0.04 ETH. I'd love for you to, anyone to officially join our Moxie family if you're not. If you want to learn or if you have people that you want to teach, I would love for you to share the Biddle Hub with them. We also still have Girls Who Mint. So you can still apply to get $100 worth of ETH and learn, learn what to do with it. So if you have any young people in your life that you want to teach, that you want to help set wallets up for, get them ETH, get them their first NFTs, that is what we are doing at Miss O Cool Girls. So when you are, when you mint, when you become part of our community, when you follow us, when you, retweeting any of our tweets, commenting, any of that stuff is always so helpful. Just spreading the word. We've already partnered with Uniswap, with their foundation. We're doing stuff with Uniswap Labs. partnered with Super Rare. We have an awesome partnership with Ledger. So actually also in the educational hub, there's going to be some awesome custom Ledger content that's coming out. And when you complete that, you'll be able to win a Ledger. And so there's a lot of stuff that we're doing. So whether it's Web3 companies or Web2 companies, just any anyone who really cares about, like, you know, from the STEAM initiatives when it comes to girls. And as I said, really working to build this more equitable digital future, you know, would just love any support, even if it's as a tweet because or a retweet or a like or anything like that, because it makes such a difference for us. And again, just so appreciative for everyone who's listening today. And, you know, Travi, thank you for having me and for all of your support.
Of course, I'm glad we were able to make it happen. You know, I think that education, I think, is the key. I think that's a really key component for what we're all trying to do here. I'm looking around the room. I see a lot of people who do educate others in this space. So for us to continue to support you, obviously, is a no-brainer for me.
I'm Juliet from Miss O Cool Girls, and I'm fired up with Travi.
Hope you enjoyed today's chat with Juliet and Miss O Cool Girls. Isn't she awesome? She's really one of the coolest and smartest people I've met in my time in Web3. Really looking forward to following what she does and what Miss O Cool Girls does and what the great young artists are going to be doing. And it's just going to keep on giving, and education is going to keep growing like the branches of a tree. And that's what it's all about in this crazy, mixed up, kind of nerdy, kind of cool, brand new world of NFTs and Web3. And man, we got some really exciting interviews coming your way. I know things have been super busy for a lot of folks, IRL. So I'm trying to kind of spread the episodes apart a little bit more. I'm not trying to cram two in a week anymore, but I'm going to keep on delivering for you out there. Hopefully it brings a smile to your face in a strange time and maybe hopefully the end of a bear market. I don't know. We'll see if Pepe really spawns the bull like some people think it might be doing. But we've got some other amazing guests coming your way. So stay on the lookout for that. And of course, remember, check out our affiliate links. We've got some really cool stuff. Always remember, check out Fanzo and NFT 365. We are a sister podcast of theirs. And man, just a lot of fun stuff right there in the show notes. I won't put anything in there that I wouldn't use myself, to be honest with you. So let's keep on doing really good things in this space. Make it a better place. And don't forget, keep on trying to do what I always try to do, and that is bring one love to Web3. I'll catch you next time. Peace.